And we're back. See, told ya. You get to listen to all of this wonderful conversation about trans migration of identity, which is the National Art Gallery's newest inter-island traveling exhibition. So if you're just joining us for the second segment of the show, welcome to Blank Canvas. My name is Malika Pryor Martin, and I am your guest host, filling in for Mrs. Amanda Coulson, who's the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget to take us with you when you're on the move or traveling abroad, as I know so many of us do, by live streaming us at www.guardiantalkradio.com. And you can also go to the app, Store, Play, Store, download TuneIn Radio, and listen to us whenever you feel like it, because that's also a great option. Heart technology. And I am in the studio this evening with two amazing members of Team NAGB, the co-curators of Trans Migration of Identity, Mr. Richardo Barrett, assistant curator, and Abby Smith, community outreach officer, who are taking this, I think, really, really special exhibition, actually, to Eleuthera. So this is the world premiere of this particular exhibition with nearly 20 amazingly talented and awesome Bahamian artists featured. Richardo's going to tell me exactly who, because like he's the curatorial mastermind in the house tonight. But now I just want to talk about the art. I want to talk about the artists who are being featured. I want to talk about what trans migration of identity is even about. Unfortunately, if you don't travel to Eleuthera or one of the other family islands where this particular exhibition will eventually visit, you won't get to see it. So this is a fabulous excuse to be a local tourist and go and see wonderful work, mm-hmm. Even if you live here on New Providence, because it will never come to the Villa Doyle. It's not going to happen. You must go to Eleuthera in order to see it in this specific iteration, because with each family island, we are in different spaces. And it changes.
It changes.
So this is the world premiere, premiere of Trans Migration of Identity. I don't know why I can't stop saying that. It's telling my age. I'm not a millennial. It's official. Everybody knows. So tell me about Trans Migration of Identity. How do you come up with this? How did this exhibition come into being? What makes it so special? How did we go from focusing on two artists to focusing on a theme and an idea? That's broadly Bahamian, but I think probably a bit universal too.
Mm-hmm. It's pan-Caribbean, I would say. Yeah, it's pan-Caribbean. Just really speaks about the process. The process. I'll let Richardo speak about the process of transmigration.
Well, curatorially, looking at the collection, as we group pieces together, mm-hmm. we kind of see like this line that kind of essentially like joined all of them, and it's the story of our heritage, the story of like the African and diaspora, and it's interesting because even when you look at a lot of the artists, a lot of their heritage is mixed heritage. A lot of them, even if it's like second, third generation, it's there.
Yeah,
and it's something that you can't really avoid. So in the process of coming up with an exhibition idea, it was kind of simple to see that kind of lining that connected all of the artists. When you look at works by Alan Wallace, Amos Ferguson, Maxwell Taylor, Antonius Roberts, maybe some names that a lot of Bahamians aren't aware of, like Wellington Bridgewater, Wade Taylor. These are all people who are kind of a part of our history in terms of Bahamian art and how we look at ourselves and how we kind of like unwind that historical aspect of who we are and who we see ourselves, in the wider Caribbean as well. But I think that was a part of the reason why we kind of made that the narrative and why it fits so well.
So given what's happening in the world right now, given questions and conversations that I think we are pretty, if not constantly, certainly consistently having in the Bahamas around what it means to be Bahamian, around notions of otherness, why do you think an exhibition like this matters in terms of the theme and the content?
From my perspective, I think it matters because it allows people to see this whole idea of Bahamian art in a different context, because again, we are still struggling with this idea of the picturesque, like paintings that basically embody like paradise or like trees, and you know, this not really trying to kind of explore what it means to be Bahamian and just human or just our past in a different way. So I think when you look at a lot of the artwork, none of it is kind of like, maybe one or two has like tropical themes in it, but it's not necessarily like
sort of that idealistic.
No. And it kind of gives you, it kind of opens up this discussion into like, who is he and why is he painting this? Or why is she making work that basically talks about this culture when we're here? And it kind of opens up discussion into like who they are, who we are, you know, and what similarities we have in terms of our history. And I think that's very important.
So when you were selecting the works, and this is a totally open question for either of you, and what I picked up in your response there was just this idea of how, which I don't think is always super, super obvious to people when they think about artists, and that is that the art itself is also a reflection of the artist's experience. How did you sort of make your selections? Because I mean, of course, you're selecting from the National Collection. Virtually everyone, every artist that is a part of it is, of course, Bahamian. So when thinking about, you know, this subject, how did you, you know, what sort of process, you know, what thoughts did you bring to this is a piece? This is, you know, a work that fits. What was that process like for you guys?
I know a part of it, when we kind of brought the artwork together, I noticed that there were themes in terms of kind of like identity with a lot of the artists, whether it was like obvious or not. When you look at artists like Brent Malone, who's like a white Bahamian,
right?
So it's like this idea of like what it means to be Bahamian and white. When you look at Maxwell Taylor, and a lot of his work is about the migrants, or like this idea of like realizing who we are as a people, when you hear about the riots and all these different themes. So it's not only about like being Bahamian, but it's about the other.
Okay.
You know?
When I think about how we selected some of the works early on, some of the works like really just spoke to identity and, you know, the search for who we are as a people or as a region, you know, what is our overall identity? But then as we started to, like, delve in more into the themes that Ricardo just mentioned, we found that, you know, a lot of things, thinking about symbolism, you know, we thought about, you know, boats, how we got here. We thought about fish. We talked about, you know, how fish travel, and, you know, how if you think in, like, a human context, when you refer to, like, John Beadle's work, Mass Transportation, and you think about the hooks that are present in the work and how, you know, hooks are used to catch fish, and, you know, humans were treated like animals or like cargo, but not like people. And so a lot of times, you know, I try to think about the ways in which people view things and how they connect the dots. And what I found in, as the show started to develop itself, I found that we sort of question identity so much in this particular space in the Bahamas, because we don't know who we are, and that's because of many factors. It's because of, you know, being ripped, like, historically ripped from a place and being told,
Afro-Bahamian heritage, of course.
And then also, at that point, you were enslaved, and then you were given freedom, and then you still had to figure out a way in which to live, and which meant that you had to assimilate. And then with assimilation, then you had to create another existence. And so it was a whole process of recreating oneself.
Right.
And when you keep recreating yourself, then you keep losing your identity. And so when you think you're creating identity, you're actually taken away from it.
Yeah,
and
the question becomes, how do you retain
and how do you understand who you are? And I feel like that was more like a regional problem, which is what I often think about, that, you know, the Bahamas, we tend to, we have had similar experiences with other countries in the Caribbean, but our experience itself is somewhat it's
still
unique.
A bit unique. It's, you know, it is unique. Historically, it's unique.
Historically mm-hmm. and geographically, it's unique because of our
indeed,
proximity
to the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And you know, so everything that happens in the United States affects us as quickly as it happens in the United States, as opposed to the, going further down the Caribbean chain. Those persons really still have this deeper connection to one another. Like those countries still have similar experiences, but us, we would have like a hyper experience. Because we have all of these factors coming in that yeah. are constantly changing the way in which we look at ourselves. Yeah. And so what we may have considered Bahamian 5 years ago may not necessarily be Bahamian today. And so I think about the migration show, well, trans, as more of like just a transfer from one identity to the other. And so mm-hmm. that's what I really see the show and how it comes together. Because when it changes the space, then the show changes identity. So all of these things are happening within itself. The mm-hmm. space changes, the identity of the show changes, the way in which you interpret the show changes. And, you know, it really just speaks to the curating of the show. And, yeah. you know, what
the ability to be flexible,
yeah,
to shift the narrative in a way that's resonant. I mean, and I just find this really interesting because I think about a show like this, engaging the question, and I think in some ways, don't be mad at me, Yul, the myth of the true Bahamian, right? I mean, because part yep. of it is that you have this forced migration of captured Africans. I always take offense when people say, like, the slaves were captured. Like, no, they couldn't have been slaves because they were, like, free. Mm-hmm. They were yeah. people that were treated as cargo. So it's like, you know, you have these... You know, this incredibly large group of people who were captured, these captured Africans from Central and mostly West Africa. And then you also have these other migrations of Afro-descended people within the region.
Yep.
And, like, Afro-descended people who were already enslaved, like, from the United States, mm-hmm. that end up here, and people who are captured but never actually become enslaved. Like, I just find Bahamian history to be completely and thoroughly dynamic and just really engaging. And that's just like Afro-descended people. That doesn't even get into, you know, the historic migration of, you know, East and South Asian peoples to this space, thanks British colonialism, or, you know, the migration a little over a century ago of Greeks to, you know, the islands, and particularly the Bahamas, and how, like, these other conversations, as well as folks of English descent, right, who mm-hmm. were, you know, it's like, don't frighten me like that, colonizer, but who are still Bahamian, right? So when we were under the British crown, they were British.
Yeah.
And then there was this independent Bahamas. So how do all of these people who, in many ways, at some point had some other kind of identity, all operate as Bahamians in a reality that's actually pretty new, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to be 44?
No.
44.
We're going to be 44. Sorry.
So you drop an age.
I live it in the past. I live it in the past.
They're going to be.
Even with that, like, when you look at a lot of the work, it's very telling. And, you know, a lot of artists go through phases, right?
Mm. Mm.
But a lot of the work is kind of stuck in whatever moment in time mm-hmm. phase the artist was in. And when you look at a lot of the work, it's work that directly responds to this conflicting, like, history and this, like, challenge that we have as a Bahamian people, and, you know, figuring out who we are and where we're going. And then you have work that's totally void, not a void of that whole idea, which is interesting because it's kind of like you get to experience that this person is actually dealing with issues. They're
right.
dealing with things without even, you know, addressing this other stuff. And it just proves that all of us are still, like, human. All of
yeah.
us are dealing with things apart from this history, this, like,
right.
traumatic history that we have. Mm-hmm. And when you look at a lot of the work, it speaks to that.
Yeah.
When you look at Alan Wallace, we have one piece in our collection by Alan Wallace. It's like early Alan Wallace. So when a lot of people see it, everyone's like, that isn't, you know, because he's known as the salt artist and all these different things he's doing. But when you look at the piece,
the real Salt Bay.
The real Salt Bay.
Salt Bay.
When you look at the piece, it's quite small. It's like 24 by 30. But when you look at it, it's so detailed and it's traumatic.
Mm.
It's like one of those pieces you could
this
look
is an
at.
Ink on paper.
Yes,
it is.
And it feels like you're going through this kind of, like, turmoil within yourself, like your soul. And I think that that was done in 2003, and it's called Let There Be Order. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how can there be order? It was almost like, and you know, I know Alan is very religious. So in terms of thinking about what he was trying to like convey in this piece, mm-hmm. you know, this could have been like how his life felt, and this whole idea of like speaking, you know, order into existence. So it's kind of interesting when you look at a lot of the artwork, even the artists and, you know, this whole history of their heritage and how that kind of like basically moves into their artwork.
Yeah, and informs that both of these things, the person, the very personal identity is informing the collective, and the collective, the personal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is well, it's brilliant, and I think it's so incredibly important, and art becomes such a fantastic vessel to facilitate that kind of dialogue, because it's so meaningful and it's so important, and sometimes those kinds of conversations can be really difficult to have, but when you can have them around an object, mm-hmm. you can, you know, there's you know, kind of like this third person in mm-hmm. a sense, or third entity in the room around which you can engage a discussion mm-hmm. that's actually quite directly personal, and without it having to be about, you know, me or you. And as much as I love this conversation, I have to take a break. But don't go, because we're going to talk about more awesome stuff in just a little while. You are listening to me, Malika Fryer Martin, Communications and Development Officer at the NHEB. And I am here tonight with fantastic members of team NHEB, Assistant Curator Richardo Barrett, and Community Outreach Officer Abby Smith. You are listening to Blank Canvas. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be right back. Stay tuned to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio.